let me get our sound guy going. Folks, for those of you who aren't aware, Pastor Bod's website is up and running now. Michelle got his up and running too, like ours. And he's got 5 sermons so far posted. He'll have many more coming. Praise the Lord. But it's bardministries.com.
Bard,
B-A-R-D. Bardministries.com. And you can go on his website and hear Pastor Bod preach regularly now. So that's good, you know. The Lord's using these websites for us guys that preach, that we can get the word out all over the world. And it's blessing for... Hey, here's a blessing. Thank you, Lord. I meant to tell you this morning. I got a message this morning from a preacher friend of mine in Uganda, right? And he said, Pastor, I want you to know that last week we started with your sermon on the most terrible words ever spoken. That's a good message right there. And he said, I played it for the church. He's got a big church. And he says, every Sunday morning, for the first hour, they have like 3 hours. But he said, the first hour, we play your sermon from the Sunday morning before. He says, I get the website set up and I hook it up to our big speakers and you preach for us every Sunday morning. You know, he's got like, you know, 300 folks there. So that's what a blessing. And this is happening, where pastors are using our material and folks are getting blessed, so that's great. Folks, freshly stamped gospel tracts, thanks to Val. If anybody needs gospel tracts, they're here. Grab some and give them out. Folks get saved through these.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Oh, yeah, yeah, if she can find time. All right, folks, for our final hymn, let's stand. Open up to hymn number 13. Hymn 13, Edward Perronet wrote, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Yes, we'll sing all 4. Glory to God. Good testimonies tonight.
Name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown. Tribe on this terrestrial hall to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Praise the Lord, beloved. Please be seated tonight. Great singing, great testimonies, great day in the Lord. And we're not done, praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles tonight and open up anywhere. It's all good. but as you do, go to Revelation chapter number. We are going to be in Revelation, but I'd have you to go to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah, the 13th chapter. Praise the Lord for our great prophet. Yes, indeed. Good to hear the sound of children in the nursery. Amen? We need more of that. We got to move that gal up from Massachusetts. Wife's had enough of them. She's been at it all day chasing those rugrats around. All right. Now, folks, tonight, as we come to the Word, we're still in the Tribulation Period series. And tonight is part 16, Tribulation Period part 16. Title of my topic tonight is some additional features and facts concerning the Tribulation Period. Some additional features and facts. Well, in fact, we'll have tonight plus next Sunday night giving you more additional features and facts of the big picture of the Tribulation Period. After next Sunday night, we will be done with the book of Revelation. Can you believe that? Praise the Lord, we'll have a complete panoramic view through our four series. Can anybody name our four series in the book of Revelation which cover the entire book? First is the Tribulation Period. Second is what? The Second Coming. Third is the 75-day interval. Fourth is the millennial kingdom. Right, right. Give you little hints there. But that's our four series. And with these four series, we cover the whole book. And I'm getting emails from all over the world. Folks are really glad because pastors aren't teaching on this prophetic material, which is most important for the church today. We need to know what's coming down the pike. Well, folks, before ending our studies of Daniel's 70th week, I'd like to spend this next 2 weeks filling in some gaps concerning the big picture in the book of Revelation. The Old Testament prophets contain a great deal of detailed graphic information concerning the Great Tribulation. That's the last 3.5 years of the Heptad. It would be impossible for us to deal with all of these passages in the Old Testament in 2 or 3 weeks. So, therefore, we're going to only look at the key passages involved in the Old Testament which deal with the Tribulation Period. There's so many, I could never, we'd be here for months if I tried to give you them all. That's how much the Bible has to say concerning that 7-year period, which has not yet taken place. Isn't that amazing? God spells it all out beforehand. What an amazing God we serve. First of all, I want to show you Israel, the elect nation in the Tribulation Period. Go to Isaiah chapter 13. Now, although the entire world will be affected by the Great Tribulation, it will particularly be dealing with the epicenter. The epicenter is the nation that God chose, Israel, to be His peculiar earthly people 4,000 years ago through a man named Abraham. Now, He told Abraham that his seed would become a great nation through which He would bless the entire world. And He has. Listen to me. You and I are here tonight, redeemed and on our way to heaven because of the blessing of Abraham. Amen? That God promised a Messiah to come through His seed. Now remember, the three purposes of the Tribulation Period are: one, to make an end of wickedness. Isaiah chapter 13. Let me give you the three purposes of the book, once again, reviewing. The first purpose of the Tribulation Period is to make an end of wickedness, okay, and of wicked ones. Look with me in Isaiah 13. And in Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah had much to say concerning this period of time, as you know. Isaiah 13, look with me at verse number 9. Verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord. Now, time out, church. The day of the Lord passages, what do they always refer to? The day of the Lord?
The Sabbath?
Always, nope. It always refers prophetically to the thousand-year day, the day of the Lord when he will reign, including the seven-year tribulation period. That's the day of the Lord. From the time of the beginning of the tribulation period till the end of the millennium is the day of the Lord. Now look what he says. He's talking about the first 7 years of the day of the Lord. Verse number 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger. Why? To lay the land desolate. And he, the Lord, shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Notice in verse number 9, the first purpose for the tribulation period is to destroy all wickedness from the earth. He will. He'll make an end of it. Now, there's a second purpose of the tribulation period. That is to bring about a worldwide revival. Go to Revelation chapter 7. God is going to bring this planet to its knees. And he's going to use the tribulation period to do it. And there will be the greatest revival in the history of this world during the seven-year period known as the tribulation. Look in Revelation chapter number 7. Don't miss this. This is the second purpose of the tribulation, to bring about worldwide revival. Hey, folks, you know me. I preach till I'm blue in the face, right? And sometimes purple. But it's not going to bring about worldwide revival. We have some empty pews tonight, right? But God is going to bring about worldwide revival. Look at it. Revelation 7, verse 9. He knows how to do it. After this, I beheld, John says, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Hey, how about if we had a multitude in this church which no man could number? Can you imagine that? They'd be lined up out on Hooksett Road, out in Route 3A here. You know, they'd line up for miles. Look at it. Verse 9. Which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They're in heaven, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Look at, drop down with me to verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation! They have salvation. To our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? He says, the angel says, who are they and where'd they come from? Look at the answer. Verse 14. I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of what? Great tribulation. Great tribulation. They came out of the tribulation period saved. A great revival had taken place. Multitudes, millions of souls got saved. For from what? How? How'd they get saved? How'd they hear the gospel of the kingdom? Who preached it to them? Think. In the same chapter, it tells you. The preaching of?
The
two witnesses only preach in Jerusalem to Israel. But this is from the preaching of the 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. The 144,000 witnesses. They're not JWs, they're Jewish. And they went all over the world, and as a result, God brought a worldwide revival. Look at it, 14. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Thirdly, the third purpose for the great tribulation is to bring the elect nation, Israel, to salvation. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel. God is going to accomplish his purposes through the great tribulation period. Mark it down. He will have his way. Ezekiel, chapter number 20. Go to chapter 20. This is the third and final purpose of the tribulation period. In chapter 20 of Ezekiel, look at me at verse number 33. 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. Time out, church. Who is God speaking to in Ezekiel 20, verse 33? That's right, Pim. That's the nation of Israel, his elect nation. He says, I'm going to pour out fury upon you. What? Upon his own people? Yup. Watch it. And I will bring you out from the people, the Gentiles, and will gather you out from the countries wherein ye are scattered, and with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. What people? And there will I plead with you face to face. These Jews are being brought out of the Gentile nations into a wilderness where God is going to deal with them. When? Look at verse 36. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you, Israel, to pass under the rod. Folks, this is a rod of correction. This is a rod of chastisement. This is a rod of God's wrath upon his people Israel in order to bring them to their knees. Look at it. I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. What? What covenant?
The one with Abraham.
Uh-huh. The Abrahamic. He's referring to the new covenant which he would establish with his elect nation Israel. And God knows what it will take to get them to accept it. Look at verse 38. And I will purge out from among you the rebels. See, folks, listen to me. Not all the Jews are going to make it through the tribulation period. Okay?
Yeah.
Two-thirds of the Jews will be annihilated. Why? Look at verse 38. I will purge out from among you the rebels, those who rebel against Messiah, and them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When is this going to happen? Tribulation period. This is a tribulation context in chapter 20. Amen? And he says, I am going to purge Israel. All the rebels are going to perish. But the ones who believe in my son, I'm going to give them a kingdom. Glory to God. These are the three purposes of the tribulation period. Now, let's examine some key passages that confirm this truth and try to understand just what God is attempting to accomplish in Daniel's 70th week. First, his first purpose is that the elect nation will be wholly converted through the tribulation. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. His first purpose is that the elect nation Israel... Now somebody tell me, what is the elect nation Israel today positionally standing in? It begins with a U. Unbelief. They're in unbelief. God is not happy with those Jews over there. Okay? Don't let anybody fool you. Yes, there still is an elect nation, but he's not happy. They have rejected nationally his son. Hey, you know, Christmas Eve... I was at my family. We gather every year on Christmas Eve. My whole family gathers in Boston for a Christmas Eve celebration, family get together. And one of my nieces married a Jewish fella. And I said, oh, praise the Lord, I'll get to speak to this guy about Messiah. He's a Jewish fella, real big guy too. And I said, hey, are you waiting for Messiah to come? Well, first I asked him, have you been to Israel? He said, oh yeah, I've been to Israel. I've been to Jerusalem, the holy sites, everything. I said, oh, that's awesome. I'm going too one day. And I says, are you waiting for Messiah to come? And he says, nope. I says, what do you mean? He says, I don't believe there's a Messiah. I said, what do you mean? You don't believe you're Jewish, but you don't believe in a Jewish Messiah? He says, nope, I don't believe in any religion. He says, I don't believe in any religion. I says, well, I'm waiting for your Jewish Messiah to come, myself. I'm a born-again Christian. He said, I know, I don't believe any of that born-again stuff. I don't believe the Bible. I said, well, good luck with that, you know. Folks, you have to believe. And this is what he's going to do in the tribulation period. He's going to purge out the rebels, those who refuse to accept his son and what he's done for them. I don't care if you're Jewish, black, Australian, or Chinese. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin, you're not going to heaven. You can't be saved. You cannot escape the damnation of hell without Jesus Christ in your life. Period. I thought this fellow was going to say, oh, yeah, I'm waiting for Messiah. No, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, you know. It's going to, God knows what it'll take to break their stubborn will, and he will. Look with me here. In Jeremiah chapter 30, look at verse 4. Don't miss this. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Those are Jews, people. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man, Jewish man, with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Something horrible is occurring in Israel. Look at verse 7. Alas, for that day, what day? In Jeremiah, what day? The day of the Lord. You see it? That's the day of the Lord. That's the tribulation period. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of America's trouble. Nope. Nope. Wrong version. Jacob's trouble. That's Israel. But now, whenever you see the name Jacob in the Bible, it's speaking of ethnic Jews. Remember that. Always. Because he goes Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. Always speaking of ethnic Jews. Look at, even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he, Jacob, the Jews, shall be saved out of it. Do you see the last portion of verse number 7? Out of the tribulation period, Jacob will be saved. Jacob is pointing to the remnant of Israel, the believers who are waiting for Messiah. I'm so glad that there are Jews today that believe in Jesus Christ and are waiting for his second coming. I'm so glad of that, church. Now, here we see that this is simply because nationally, God chose Israel. Tim and I were talking about this on the way to church tonight. Israel was chosen by God specifically to be his firstborn nation through which he would bless the world. Go to Exodus chapter 4, quickly. Exodus chapter 4 has an incredible statement concerning Israel. Don't miss this. In Exodus chapter 4, look at this. In Exodus chapter 4, look with me at verse 22. Powerful stuff. And thou shalt say, God is speaking to Moses who will speak to Pharaoh. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my what?
Son.
Even my firstborn. Firstborn. What? Do you understand what verse 22 is saying? Beloved, listen to me. God is saying, I chose one nation to be my firstborn nation amongst the nations. The name of it is given in the same verse, Israel. He was chosen. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that mean every Jew goes to heaven? Nope. 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 You've got to believe and be born again to go to heaven, right? And because they don't believe, he's going to put them into the tribulation period and get them to believe. They will in the end. They will. But Israel, notice, is God's firstborn of the nations. He said, I'm choosing them to be my privileged, firstborn, elect nation. You are his chosen, special, elect bride. They're not spelt the same. You're the elect bride. Israel is the elect nation. The problem with your theologians today, they can't spell. They can't make out the difference between the elect nation and the elect bride. They intermingle them. And when you do that, your doctrine is all messed up. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Okay? Now, that's why you've got to be a premillennial dispensationalist. So important. Now, here we have Israel being called God's elect nation. God's firstborn from amongst the nations. Isn't that something? Now, this is further described in Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah, have your Bibles greased up tonight, and go to Jeremiah chapter 16. I'm so glad the Bible spells these things out in black and white. And those who cannot see them, either doing it on purpose, or they got another agenda, or they don't have the Holy Ghost. Look here in Jeremiah 16. Look with me at verse 16. Watch this. Behold, God is speaking. I will send for many fishers. What's a fisherman do? Oh, yeah, he catches fish. Timmy's a real good fisherman. He knows about that. Saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. Fish who? Fish who?
The people, the souls.
Of who? What people?
The Jews.
Yes, Timmy, the Jews. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. They're hiding. It's tribulation time. They're in hiding. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face. Neither is their iniquity, their sin, hid from mine eyes. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. That's the tribulation period. Notice the word double. Because they have defiled my land, Israel. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things, idolatry. And God says, I'm going to punish them. And he's going to do it in a tribulation period. He's going to bring them to their knees. A graphic description of Israel in the tribulation period is found in Isaiah chapter 3. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 3. If you've never seen this, it's amazing. Because Isaiah chapter 3 is all about the tribulation. Look at this. Notice the effects of the tribulation period upon the Jewish political leaders. Verse 1. The Jewish political leadership is going to be judged. For behold, Isaiah 3:1. The Lord of hosts. Whenever you see that title, it's a military title. The Lord of armies. That's the Lord our God. He's a man of war. Doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. He says, I'm going to take the very food and water away from them during the tribulation period. They're not going to have anything to eat. And look, he's going to make it real bad for them. Watch. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the elders, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor, the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed. He's talking about Israel, Jerusalem and Judah. Every one by another and every one by his neighbor. And child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient and the no respect. And the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thine hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be as an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of this people. You see what they're saying during the tribulation period? A guy, because he has a shirt on his back, they want him to be their leader. That's how wasted they are. That's how destroyed they are. The guy's got clothes, so he qualifies to be a leader. Okay? Verse 8. For Jerusalem is what?
Ruined.
Hey, folks. You look over there in Jerusalem tonight. It's not ruined. BB's in charge, and it's standing just fine. But there's coming a day when it's going to be ruined. And Judah was fallen. Why? Because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. To provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say you, now watch this, verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. You see the believing remnant in verse 10? During the tribulation period, there are some believing Jews. They are the remnant of Israel. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him. For the reward of his hand shall he be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, which lead thee to cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment. It's judgment time, tribulation period, with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. The princes, that's the political leadership of Israel. And for ye have eaten up the vineyard, Israel. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? So first we see that he's dealing with the leadership the hierarchy of Israel, who have taught the people to reject the Son of God. Okay? They're trying to hold him into the law of Moses, into Judaism, when God is trying to set him free from that through Messiah. Secondly, notice the effects of the tribulation period upon the Jewish women. Verse 16, the Jewish women. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion, that's the Jewish women, are haughty, proud, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moons. That's earrings. And the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. That's all ornaments that women wear. The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, perfume, there shall be stink. They're going to smell because they have no water to bathe in. And instead of a girdle, a rent. Their clothes are ripped and torn. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty. He says, I'm going to punish the women of Israel as well as the men. Folks, this is graphic. I know, but it's coming. Thirdly, observe the sharp reduction of the male population. Verse 25, thy men shall fall by the sword and thy mighty in the war. There's a big war coming in Israel and they're going to lose. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground, Israel. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, Jewish man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Did you see verse 1 of chapter 4? The male population of Israel is going to be so desolated, so utterly wasted and destroyed, that what there'll be 7 to 1 ratio, women to men, Jewish ratio. And seven women will grab one Jewish man and say, let me be your wife. Let me be called by your name. And I won't even eat your bread if you just let me be married to you. Why? Because there's no men left. There's no men left. Jewish men. Folks, the second thing I want you to see is the day of the Lord passages. The day of the Lord passages. There are five key Day of the Lord passages that deal directly with Israel in the tribulation period. First, the false Jewish prophets of the tribulation period are described in Ezekiel chapter 13. Going to go quick here. Ezekiel chapter 13. The false, during the tribulation period, listen to me, there's going to be all kinds of false Jewish prophets going around telling people that Messiah is already come. Okay? During the tribulation period. They're liars. They've got demons and not the Spirit of God. Look with me here in Ezekiel chapter 13. This couldn't be any clearer. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of who? Israel. That prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Notice the context? It's the day of the Lord. It's the tribulation period, folks. Six, they have seen vanity and lying divination. They saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken it. God says, the first ones I'm going to punish are the false prophets in Israel during the tribulation period. I'm going to wipe them out. Why? They're telling lies to the Jews. They're saying, you don't need Messiah. We got it under control. We can handle this. No, you can't. Oh, no, you can't. Liar. Secondly, the cleansing and purging out of these false Jewish prophets and the demons that control them is described clearly in Zechariah chapter 13. Go to Zechariah just before Malachi, just after Haggai. Zechariah chapter 13. Watch what's going to happen to these false prophets during the tribulation period. Zechariah 13. Look at verse 2. It shall come to pass in that day. What day? The tribulation. That's right, Marian. Saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets, false prophets, and the unclean spirit, demon spirit, to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of our Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass that in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive their deceivers. But ye shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman. For man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, somebody showing up on the scene, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. You see that? After he destroys all of the false prophets, our great prophet shows up, and someone's going to say, what are those wounds in your hands? And he's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. I was nailed to an old rugged cross. Yes, he's going to destroy those false prophets. Mark it down. Thirdly, the spiritual darkness and enemy invasion is described. Joel chapter 2. Turn back from Zechariah, before Zephaniah, before Micah, before Jonah. You'll come to Joel, before Amos. Go to Joel chapter 2. The spiritual darkness and enemy invasion is clearly described here. Joel chapter 2. Look with me at verse number 1. Blow ye the trumpet. Where?
In Zion.
That's Jerusalem. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, tribulation. For it is nigh at hand. Folks, it's nigh at hand tonight. It's coming. A day of what?
Darkness.
It's a time of darkness, folks. Spiritual blackness worldwide. And of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth the land, Israel. Is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. Trouble's coming, and you can't escape it. Look at this. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. Sounds like Revelation chapter 9 to me. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array, they're coming to destroy Jerusalem. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. Yeah, they're fire breathers. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone on his ways. They shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. Shall they walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon a sword, they shall not be wounded. What? You catch that? These are supernatural beings. You can't kill them. But they're going to be killing the Jews. Look at it. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon a wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. You can't keep them out of your house, man. They're coming in whether you like it or not. Watchdog won't help you. They'll chew them up. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. His camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, And who can abide it? Who can abide it? He says, when the day of the Lord, Daniel 70th week, the tribulation period comes, who's going to survive? Who can abide such wrath of God? Folks, this darkness is spoken of in Joel chapter 3 as well. Look at verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is at near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be what? Darkened. Darkened. It's a time of darkness, folks. Listen, the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Notice the remnant in verse 16 of true believers, Jewish believers in Messiah. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no more strangers pass through her anymore. Then when? After the day of the Lord. After the wrath of God falls upon them. Fourthly, this day of the Lord is described as a time of no escape for Jewish unbelievers. Amos. Flip forward, you'll be in Amos, the next book. Amos chapter 5. There's no escape for Jews who do not believe in the coming Messiah. Look at it. Verse 18. This couldn't be any clearer. Verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, not light. As a man, if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Oh, that worked out real good for me. Running away from a lion and a bear tore me up. Or when he went into an house and leaned his hand upon a wall and a serpent bit him. I get in my house and I just escaped that one. And he gets bit by a poisonous viper. You know, that didn't work out too good. Look at it. And verse 20, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? You know what he's saying? He's saying the Jewish unbelievers, no matter where they flee to, no matter where they flee to, they cannot escape the wrath of God. Why? They don't believe in Messiah. You see that? The remnant is going to be protected in Petra. But the unbelieving Jews, they can't escape the judgment of God. No matter which way they turn, they face nothing but death and destruction. Fifthly, it is described as being very heavy against Jerusalem and its leaders. Go to Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah, just before Haggai, just after Habakkuk. You say, if I found those, I'd be all set. Zephaniah chapter 1. And look at verse number 7. Verse 7. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. Yeah, a bunch of birds are going to eat their flesh. It shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes. That's the Jewish leadership, folks. And the king's children, the royalty will not escape. And all such as are clothed with strange apparel. And the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. They're going down. And it shall come to pass in that day, tribulation, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Mektesh, and all the merchant people are cut down. Those who deal in material goods, the market, they're being destroyed. They that bear silver are cut off. The stock market will crash. Gold and silver will be worthless. Verse 12, it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their leads, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Oh yeah? Wait a minute. You don't think God's going to find you out? He says, I will search Jerusalem with candles. I'll find every one of those unbelievers. Verse 13, therefore their goods shall become a booty. And their, that's a prey. That's a in war, they take the booty. That's the spoil of war. And their houses are desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. God says, I'm going to punish the unbelieving Jews, and there's nothing they can do to escape it. Nothing. Thirdly tonight, the tribulation period will be a time of worldwide anti-Semitism. Go to Matthew 24. Worldwide anti-Semitism. Folks, we're already seeing that in the world today. Just turn on CNN. They hate the Jews. They blame Israel for everything that happens. This plane that went down last night with 162 people on board, watch, they'll blame the Jews. And Matthew 24, look with me at verse number. First of all, notice the hatred directed against the Jews. Verse 9, Jesus says to the Jews, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Jews are going to be beheaded. And why? For being Jewish. Just for being Jewish. See that? Ye shall be what? Hated of all nations for my name's sake. Wow! Look at it. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, sin shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Secondly, observe the Jewish remnant in the tribulation period. Verse 13, but, those were the unbelievers, but, verse 13, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Notice the Jewish believing remnant in verse 13. They're enduring to the end. They're not taking the mark of the beast. They're not worshiping Antichrist. They're waiting for Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Thirdly, notice the preaching of the 144,000. Verse 14. And this gospel of grace, no, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. That's the preaching right there of the 144,000. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Fourthly, notice what happens at the midpoint of the tribulation. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, that's the temple at Jerusalem. Whoso readeth, let him understand. He says, when you see the Antichrist go into my temple at Jerusalem, sit on my throne on the mercy seat and declare himself to be God, watch out. Because it's going to get real bad on planet Earth. Fifthly, observe the fleeing of the Jews. Verse 16. They will flee at that point. Then let them which be in Judea, what? Flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Verse 20. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter. Neither on the Sabbath day. Why? They've got to get out of Jerusalem. The Antichrist has just broken the covenant. The 7-year peace treaty, 3.5 years in, he walks into the temple, declares himself to be Jesus Christ, and breaks the covenant and starts slaughtering Jews. Their blood will fill the temple because he's chopping their heads off. Sixthly, notice the last 42 months. Verse 21. For then shall be, then, after the breaking of the covenant, after the abomination of desolation, last 42 months, then shall be what? Great tribulation. The first half is called the tribulation, but the last half of the tribulation period is called great tribulation. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There's the elect nation. The elect bride is not here. You are not here. This is tribulation period. He's talking about the elect nation, Israel. They shall be saved out of it. Seventh, observe the false prophets attempting to allure the remnant of Israel out of hiding. Verse 23. Then, when? Last 42 months. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, the Messiah came. Or he's there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive even the very elect. That's the remnant of Israel. Okay? The remnant of Israel. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in secret chambers. Believe it not. Jesus says, if they tell you I've already come, don't come out of Cilapitra. Stay in that cave, because they're only trying to lure you out to behead you. That's what Jesus is saying here. Eighthly, notice the gathering of the remnant. Verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. He says, boys, you don't have to come out of Petra, because when I really come down, I'm going to take you by my angels and gather you to the body in Jerusalem. I'm going to gather you together. Okay, they're going to fly through the air. Angels are going to carry them through the air to Jerusalem. That's what he's saying in verse 27. You don't have to come out of the cave and try to make it to Jerusalem. He's going to transport them supernaturally, just like we were raptured. Fourthly, tonight, quickly, Israel and Satan in the tribulation period. Don't turn there. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Joshua the high priest stood before the altar, and Satan stood to resist him. Satan stood to resist him. The devil hates Israel. He always resists Israel and tries to destroy them. Now, in Revelation 12, graphically, this enmity between Satan and the nation Israel is graphically described. We're not going to take the time to read it, but you might want to write this down. In Revelation chapter 12, in verses 3, 4, and 5, it reveals the reason for this enmity. Because she brought forth the man-child that was to rule all nations. That's why he hates Israel. Then, verse number 6 shows Israel's fleeing to Petra. Verse number 6 of Revelation 12 shows Israel's fleeing to Petra. That's in southern Jordan, a town called Bozra. And it's in Mount Seir. Petra is in Mount Seir. They're going to hide there. This verse 7 through 12 of Revelation 12 reveals the atmospheric war which will take place in heaven, showing Satan's descent to the earth. Why? He loses the battle to Michael and the holy angels. Satan and his evil angels lose that fight, and they're cast down to the earth. Guess what happens then? In verse 13 and 14 of Revelation 12, shows that the Jews will be miraculously fed at Petra for the final 42 months. Verse 15 through 17 reveals the supernatural divine assistance that Israel will have during her fleeing to Petra. He's a great red dragon, you know. He's going to cast a flood out of his mouth and try to drown all the Jews. Well, guess what? The Bible says the earth will open her mouth and swallow the water. And they will escape on dry land. Just like Egypt, you know. And listen, fifthly and finally, the final results of the tribulation. To what extent will Satan succeed in destroying the Jews? Go to Zechariah chapter 13. Just flip back from Matthew. Prior to Haggai, you'll be in Zechariah, chapter 13. Look at this. How successful will Satan be in attempting to destroy all of the Jews? He'll do a good job. Let me give you that much. Look at this. In Zechariah, chapter 13, look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land of Israel, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and what? Die. He's talking about Jews, the Jewish world population. Two-thirds will be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. Verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, tribulation, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. Did you see that? He says that remnant, the third part of Israel, that survived the tribulation period, they will one day call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and he said, I will hear them and save them. That's coming, boys and girls, at the end of the tribulation period. Now, in the Holocaust, think with me, Hitler succeeded in destroying one-third of the Jewish race. The entire population of Jews in the world at that time was 18 million. He murdered 6 million of them. That's one-third. But under the reign of Antichrist, when he controls and he's energized by Satan, 12 million Jews will be slaughtered during the tribulation period. I don't like that. I don't like that because we love the Jewish people. But because they reject their Messiah, 2/3, 12 million will die during the tribulation period. Sad to say. Now, finally, Israel and Michael in the tribulation period. Now, besides being the archangel, Michael is also the chief prince and protecting angel assigned by God to guard his elect nation Israel. Did you know that? Throughout history, Michael has stood with his sword defending the Jews. That's why Satan has never been able to wipe them out. Michael beat him in that war in heaven and cast him out of the atmospheric heavens to the earth. That's how powerful Michael is. Amen? You don't want to mess with Michael. Now, we know from Revelation 12, verse 7, that it is Michael who will cast out Satan from his third abode onto the earth. But the key passage revealing Michael's special relationship to Israel is found in Daniel chapter 12. Turn there, we'll finish up. Daniel chapter number 12. Michael will defend Israel during the tribulation period. That's why Satan can't, the Antichrist cannot destroy them all. Michael's fighting for him. Look at it. Daniel chapter 12. Look with me at verse number 1. And at that time, what time, Daniel? What's he been prophesying about? The day of the Lord, the tribulation period. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, Jews. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time, tribulation. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, even every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, realize here, beloved, that because of the specific assignment and ministry of Michael, the archangel, to Israel, the believing remnant of Israel during the tribulation period will come through the trib and inherit the promised millennial kingdom that God promised way back in Genesis 12 to Abraham and his seed. Now, he said that they would one day possess it. Michael is going to make sure of it by preserving the remnant alive to the end of the tribulation period. Now, listen, the literal veracity, listen to me, what I'm about to say is real important that you get this. The literal veracity and reputation of God himself depends upon Israel possessing the kingdom forever that he promised to his people. You hear what I said? If Israel does not come to Messiah and be converted at the end of the tribulation period and inherit the millennial kingdom, God would be a liar. Because God said they will. And let me tell you, our God is no liar. His reputation is at stake. Let me tell you something. I don't care what the devil throws at Israel. He cannot stop them. They will inherit that kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. Listen. Now, the kingdom on earth, yes, Israel will rule in the kingdom. But they are God's earthly people. We are God's heavenly people. Israel inherits an earthly kingdom. We inherit an heavenly kingdom. Oh, we're so much blessed. Sometimes people say, I wish I was Jewish. No, you don't. Are you kidding me, man? I wouldn't want to be Jewish. I wouldn't want to be Jewish because I'm part of the bride of Christ. We have a new heaven to indwell forever. They get the new earth. Enjoy, boys. I'll visit you, but I'll be with my Jesus in the new heaven. Amen? Listen carefully now. Next week, I'll have 7 more additional features and facts concerning the tribulation period. And our entire study of the book of Revelation will finally be complete. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight. How we thank you tonight that your veracity, your truth is eternally dependable. We can know that we know that we know that it will come to pass because God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said it in his word, and he cannot lie. I am so glad tonight, Lord, that we are on the winning side. Oh yes, you'll bring Israel to her knees. It'll take 7 years, but you will do it. And they will call. You said, they shall call upon me, and I will hear them. That day's coming, Lord. I can't wait. Because then, and only then, will the kingdom of Messiah be set up on earth for 1,000 years. We will rule and reign with you over the kingdom, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that tonight. We love you with all of our hearts. It's been a great day in the Lord. It's been wonderful. Fellowshipping with your people, worshiping the King of Kings, glorying in your Holy Spirit presence, and feeling your power working in our midst. We're so grateful tonight. Bless us this week, Lord. Use us for your honor and glory. Keep us from evil. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Defend us by your holy angels. And use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, beloved, and we'll stand for a final hymn of invitation. Open up to hymn number 260. Hymn 260. And we're going to sing all three.
But it's only two.
Praise the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus Christ. Joseph Scriven wrote the words to this great hymn of the faith. And that'd be first, second, and third. Yep. Praise the Lord. Sing it like you mean.
Oh, friend, we have in Jesus all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, pains we bear.
Why?
All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We found us so faithful, who will all our sorrows share.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus knows of every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. This Christ forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take it cheerfully. Thou wilt find us solace there.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for a great day. Bless us as we go our ways. Bring us back next Sunday morning, O God, and we thank you for your house. Oh, what a precious privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God, worshiping the true and living God. We love you tonight in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.